Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your pamphlets with you, we're going to look at the text today. And you can follow along and make your notes in Mark 4:35. And the text begins by saying, on that day when evening had come. That is, on that day which Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God. And you remember that just a few paragraphs before, we see Jesus teaching on the parables. You know, what the kingdom of God is all about. You know, he says that the kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground. In another instance, you would hear him say, you know, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet, it is when it is sown, it grows up to become larger than all the garden plants. And when it is fully grown, all the birds come to find its rest in it. Than that, you know, we hear after John the Baptist, today we celebrate the nativity of John the Baptist, that at the Baptist's death, Jesus begins his ministry, and the first thing that he says is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In another instance, we find, the disciples asking Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus then responds to them and say, when you pray, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When Jesus was questioned, you know, are you the king of the Jews? And are you a king of a kingdom? And Jesus says, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. And so we realize that, you know, one of the things that is very pronounced in the preaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ is this idea of the kingdom of God. And so, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? And in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, it's very interesting because in the parables it reveals something about what the kingdom of God is about. And Jesus saying to the crowd says, to his disciples, he says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables so that, now listen closely, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Yeah? So, the kingdom of God essentially is about the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus came to preach and teach, and this is what Jesus came to do. In his birth, this is what the angel announced. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. And so, the forgiveness of sins is obtained for us by what the world would consider to be a very bloody, shameful, and weak display of a man dying on the cross. To the world, it seems like Jesus was defeated, for he was put to shame, scorned, and rejected by most, and then put to death. Doesn't seem like a very beautiful picture that is painted when the world sees what it is that Jesus had to endure and what happened at the cross. It's very shameful. How is it that the death of a man on a cross would bring about such victory? And how is it that his followers would boast in something that to the world seems so shameful and weak? But for us Christians, who we know that we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith, we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And in Colossians, there's a very interesting verse, because it seems that when the world looks upon the cross to see what it is that Jesus did for us, you know, all they see is shame, a man who's on the cross, who was left naked, who was left alone, that even God in heaven seemed to turn his face away from him. Yeah? And so, although it seems shameful, it says here that at the cross, he has disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in his cross, that is, in him. And again, It is there on the cross that he cancels our debt by being nailed to the cross and by his shed blood obtaining for us the forgiveness of sins and reconciling us to the Father. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. That a man would come from out of nowhere, it would almost seem like, and claim that he has the authority to forgive sins. And so realize that at this point, that you know, when Jesus would say things like that, people were astounded. They were the Pharisees and the religious people of the day were almost insulted by such speech. We have an instance in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, where Jesus, you know, sees a crowd bring in a man who was paralyzed, a paralytic man, and when he sees their faith, he says to them, "My son, your sins are forgiven." This is what the kingdom is all about. And so when the people that were around listening to that heard that, they were astonished to say, "Who is this man that who claims that he has the authority to forgive sins here on earth?" And so Jesus, you know, realizing that, knowing what it is that they were thinking in their own hearts, says to them, "This is why do you question these things in your hearts? Why do you doubt? Which is easier to say to the paralytic man? Your sins are forgiven? Or rise up, take your bed and walk?" What would you think would be easier to do if you were standing, if you were in that place and Jesus posed that question? He said, "Well, it seems to plain sight, right? To those who were just looking, it would seem that it would be easier to say your sins are forgiven. Who's to say that man's sins aren't forgiven? But to say to a man who's paralyzed, who cannot walk, to say, get up and walk, now that would be something, wouldn't it? That would be something." And so Jesus here says, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, O man, rise and walk." And so the man gets up and takes his bed and walks away. And what was the reaction of the people? What was the reaction of the people? "And he arose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified." And this is the reaction that we have at the end of our gospel message today when we see what Jesus does with the storm. That those that witness what it is, the power of Christ, ask themselves, "Who is this man? Who then is he? Who then is he?" And this is the central idea that we have in our gospel message today. This is the thing that we're going to ask ourselves today. If the kingdom of God is about the forgiveness of sins, if the nature of the kingdom of God is about a man who had, about Jesus who humiliated himself, came and condescended himself unto us, took upon himself our sins, and endured shame and scorn and misery for us, to the world that seems not very strong at all, not very powerful, that a man would just die on the cross. That in that the power of God is displayed. But this is the nature of the kingdom. That although we are dying, you know, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we go to our text, the first thing we hear is, on that day, the very day that Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God, he says, "Let us go across to the other side." And so they all get in the boat And I want you to keep those words in the back of your mind. Jesus says, "Let us go on to the other side." And they all get on the boat, and you know, everything seems like it's going to be a restful, peaceful voyage to the other side of the waters. And right when they're in the middle of all of it, a storm starts brewing. Yeah, and I want you to picture. So I don't know if you've ever been on a boat ride, you know, and you've had the waves, and sometimes people get a little seasick. Yeah. I don't get seasick, but I can tell you that there is a storm I've been in that really, really freaked me out. And you know, my family and I, we're from the Caribbean, so we've lived through at least 10 hurricanes. And I tell you, it is a sight. And it is something that puts the fear of God in you if you don't have the fear of God in you. Eh? And I'm telling you that we lived through this one hurricane where the winds were so powerful that there were these, you know, 50-foot tall palm trees that would completely bend almost to the ground. You know, there were these wooden light poles and even some of the metal ones that were bolted onto the ground, that the hurricane winds would just literally just rip them out of the ground. And can you imagine if you were outside in that storm? I don't think I would survive. I don't think any of us would survive a storm like that. And so you got to picture yourself that this is the kind of storm that the disciples find themselves in. And, you know, these are expert fishermen. And so they've probably dealt with storms in the past. They've dealt with, you know, with a crisis in a boat. And so they know how to handle it real well, right? But in this particular instance, there was something very peculiar about this storm. They couldn't figure it out. It was too intense. It was too overwhelming. And all the meantime, while they were running to and fro, trying to save their own lives and trying to figure out what they can do so that they wouldn't die in the midst of this storm, they look to the front of the boat, and what do they find? Jesus sleeping. And they're amazed. They say, well, doesn't he know that we are about to perish? I mean, doesn't he know that we're in the middle of a storm? This is far too incredible. We cannot believe that this man is here almost careless about the fact that we are about to die. And so much so that they turn to Jesus and they cry out to him. It says, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care? Now, the thing is that at this point, I would tell you that, you know, they probably forgot the very word that Jesus spoke to them right before they got on the boat. And he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And because Jesus, you know, had complete faith, dependence and reliance upon the Father, he knew that even if there was a storm that threatened his life, he knew that he was going to get to where he needed to be because he had the Father with him. And the disciples should have also believed as well because the Lord was with him as well, were with him as well. Yeah. And so they didn't believe his word. And so they doubted. And so because they doubted the word of Jesus, that they would get to where it is that Jesus said they were going to get, they started to fear for their lives. And this is many times, this is how we react when we are encountered with different trials and tribulations in our own lives. That we forget the word of Jesus Christ, who said that he will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the God who is there. He's always there, but he is there as the hidden God. That is, that by faith we know he is there and he is with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That no matter what it is that's going on in our lives, that we can trust him beyond the shadow of a doubt, that we know that he has our best interest at heart. That we know that all the storms that may come our way is secondary to the storm that the Lord Jesus Christ has already saved us from. And we'll see what that is in a minute. Yeah. And so the disciples cry out, do you not care that we are about to perish? And sometimes we find ourselves in that place in our lives, do we not? Maybe we had to endure some sort of loss, and the loss is too hard to bear. And we look at our situation, and the storm seems to be too much for us to handle. And we, instead of looking to Jesus in faith, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, we look at our circumstances, and we cry out to God, And we scream, you know, do you not care? This is too painful to handle. Do you not care? I tell you, I found myself many times in my own life crying out like that. God, do you not care? How many times I saw on the news one time, it really impacted me because there was a huge tornado some years ago, and there was a helicopter that was flying over to look at the disaster, the storm that was so intense. I mean, it just, I don't know, one thing that I fear the most, I can endure a hurricane, but a tornado, I cannot. I don't want to be in its path. It is so destructive that it just devours everything that is in its path. And it was this one guy who was so overtaken by loss that he drew on top of his destroyed home, why God? This was his question, why? You see, because he was looking for answers, right, in the storm. And in the storm, all he's going to find is what? The wrath of God. God's wrath against sinful humanity. This is the storm that no man can escape. Right? That God is at odds with sinful man, with unrighteousness. that we all, when we are born into this world, we are all born as sinners. And at the very moment that we are born as enemies of God, and God's wrath is upon us. The perfect storm, if you will, and it's kind of a cliche, the perfect storm, if you will, is against us. That is, that God is set to destroy sin and sinful man. And so, when we're outside of Christ, when we are not found in Christ, this storm eventually will destroy us. Will destroy us. And Jesus says, let us go across to the other side. And I want you to understand that when we were born in sin, and we were born in death, and so the wrath of God is upon us, but Jesus, in our baptism, does something for us. He gets us to the other side. I want you to think about that for a moment. Because how is it that we escape that wrath of God, the storm of God that is set against us? He gets us to the other side. That is, he gets us away from that storm, from the wrath of God. And he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This he does in our baptism. Right? When the water, coupled with the word, comes upon that who is being baptized, those waters, what it does is it destroys the old Adam. It destroys the old sinful Adam. It drowns him and puts him to death. This God does for you. But out of those waters, then we are united in Christ's death, but we are also united in his resurrection, so that also with him we shall also live. And so in faith now, we believe that Jesus Christ has already gotten us from point A to point B. That is, he has already gotten us to the other side. So therefore, when we have all these storms that surround us in life, we realize that the worst of all the storms has already passed. And that when the hardships that come our way, whatever they may be, we can look back and think, Jesus Christ has already forgiven all my sins, has given me a way to escape the wrath of God. Now I am reconciled to God. My sins have been forgiven. Therefore, what storm can come my way that can change that truth? But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? Amen? Peace. Be still. This is what Jesus speaks to us in our baptism. Peace. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has now transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And now he has established peace. And so now we should be still. As the scripture says in the Old Testament, be still and know that I am God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ who is with us in the midst of all the other storms. If he was there for us at the cross, right, to help us escape from impending judgment, and so now if we are in Christ Jesus, therefore there is no condemnation. So then what can come between you and God now? Nothing. And so Jesus speaks to you in the gospel message today. He says, I have gotten you already to the other side. You have to believe it in faith. I am he. And so peace I give you. Not like the world gives peace. The peace that the world gives is a fleeting peace. If you look to the world to find a moment of peace, you'll find that it's only going to be a moment. Right? How long will your peace last if you don't have Christ? Well, it might last as long as your bank account is not zero, right? Once your bank account has been depleted because of all sorts of medical problems or whatever, loss of a job, how long do you think your peace is going to last, right? When someone says something that you didn't expect or you got bad news, Right? You lost your job or whatever. How long do you think your peace is going to last in the world? But how good is it to know that we as Christians, we look upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and that no matter what the circumstances and storms that we have in our own lives, we know that we can have peace and joy even though we are in the midst of the storm. Just like Jesus, when the storms were raging and the disciples were fearing for their own lives, they were convinced that they were going to die. Yet Jesus was there sleeping in perfect peace, not a care in the world. He didn't fear for his life in one moment because he knew that his life was in the hands of his Father who cared for him, and he knew that not even a sparrow would fall to the ground unless the Father permitted it. This is the kind of reliance that Jesus had upon his Father. And this is the kind of reliance that Jesus is teaching his disciples that we should have in his word. Right? Because this storm is an object lesson to what it is that Jesus has been talking about, the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God is about the forgiveness of sins. And who is this man who says he can forgive sins on earth? So Jesus says, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? The disciples, they see when Jesus gets up and you got to think about it for a moment. You know, they've seen Jesus already heal this this man who was paralyzed, and they were there when Jesus said to him, "Your sins are forgiven." And everyone questioned, you know, his authority. He says, "Who are you that you should forgive sins?" And then he comes and he says, "Okay, you know, so that you may know that I have authority to do this very thing, I'm going to heal this man." So they saw that miracle. This is a sign of the kingdom of God. That the one who says that he can forgive sins is the one who can perform these things that no other can do. By it, he vindicates himself. He proves who he is. And so they saw that. And many other things they saw. And yet here the disciples are in the boat doubting the word of Christ that we shall get to the other side. And yet here is Jesus. Calm, cool, collective. Yeah, you know people like that? Cool, calm, and collective. And this is Jesus. This is the embodiment of faith. This is faith become flesh. This is faith working in love who came to us in humiliation so that we may know that our sins are forgiven. And so he calms the storm by saying, "Be still. Be still." And when that happens, oh my God, the reaction that the disciples have and those that were around were one of amazement and fear, right? Remember that there are so many instances where we find in the Old Testament and even some in the Gospels where when Jesus performs a miracle, those that are around realize who it is that's standing before them and they fall in fear. You know, when Peter was in, there was another instance where Peter was in a boat and the Lord was there with him, and Peter was fishing all night and didn't catch anything, and the Lord says, "Cast your net on the other side." And Peter was like, "Hey, but you know, I've been fishing all night and I'm a fisherman. You're just a carpenter. What are you telling me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know, if you say so, I will do it." And he casts his nets over, and when he pulls the fish in, he said it's so much that he has to call other people to help him bring in all that fish. It was so many. And at that very moment, something happens to Peter. He falls to his knees in fear and awe, knowing, realizing who it is that it is, who is in his presence. He said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." And Jesus is there performing this miracle so that Peter may know that he is there to forgive him who is a sinner. This is the message of the kingdom of God. And that Jesus performs these miracles so that we all may know that Jesus not only has power to calm the storm, to heal the paralyzed, to give sight to the blind, to give voice to the mute, but that he also has authority on earth to forgive the sins of sinners. Who then is this? Who then is this? This is Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth. And Jesus would say to you this morning, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith after all that you've seen? Have you still no faith? And let me conclude my sermon by saying this. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? All these things are secondary to the storm that we have already been saved from. That is the wrath of God. In our baptism, we have been redeemed and reconciled to the Father. And if He has done that for us, believe me, my brethren, that the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us. By faith, He is there to guide us, to strengthen us, to get us ultimately to the other side, so that when the life of Christ is manifest, so also our lives shall be made known, and we shall know how we truly have been loved. And this who is who He is. This is who He is. The Lord, Creator of heaven and earth, who came down to be with us, to become like one of us, to endure humiliation, shame, and scorn, so that what the world would look upon as something so weak and powerless and shameful would be for us who believe the power and wisdom of God. To Him be the glory forever and ever. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.